fleeting glimpses of things seen through a veil, darkly. Do we understand the meaning of these visions of life? Why we are here and how little of our existence we truly understand? Tonight we will talk of these things on The Other Side. Welcome to the program. I am Jim Harold, and so glad to be with you once again. And we have an interesting guest today, and we're going to talk about a fascinating topic. And I'm talking about Suzanne Ahrens, and she has a book out called There Is No Death, Evidence of the Spirit World, Spirits, and Orbs. And she has done some very interesting orb photography and so forth, and we're going to talk about that, and also we'll have links in the show notes where you can take a look at some of her samples of some of her work in that regard. And as I mentioned, she is also an evidential medium. She has taken various training in that area. She's taken psychic investigation courses from Cindy Kaza, been a guest on the show before, and advanced forensic mediumship from Lisa Williams. And she has also received a certificate from the PESI Center of Excellence for Grief Treatment. She has worked on a series of cases with the New York Police Department. She's been formally tested on her abilities and was selected to be part of the JS Intuitive Investigation Academy, where she worked on several active and cold cases for various departments of law enforcement, including, and she's also had multiple requests from private parties to assist in locating missing persons. Suzanne Ahrens, so glad to have you with us today.
Oh, thank you, Jim. It's a privilege to be here. I've been listening to you for a few years now and a big fan of your shows.
Thank you.
Which have grown over the years, so very impressive for you.
Thank you. So, how did this all start for you? Because I believe looking at your bio and your website and so forth, it kind of really got the ball rolling in 1990. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, I knew it was a little different when I was younger. I would have severe deja vu. And as I got older, I realized those were premonitions. But when you're a kid and you're growing up in farm country USA, this isn't a thing. You know, I talk about it in the book I'm writing, that we had three television stations, two of them were snowy. And the only one that turned out any good was had a half a roll of a tinfoil at the end of the antenna. So we didn't have a lot of choices. So not knowing what was going on is because I didn't have exposure to it and I didn't know anybody like myself. But as I got older, I would have a lot of premonitions, and that kind of got the ball rolling. And yeah, 1990 is when it kind of really took off for me, with a lot of strange evidence and things that I knew about, even especially if it's going to be something catastrophic. I will have, I call it a panic attack. It just gets really, really intense. Like the fire, the Waldo fire that came to town, and my death of my daughter, and just all sorts of things that I ended up moving about ahead of time. So, but for me, it really had the door swing open as I was falling asleep one night. And this is how I realized I could catch spirits and orbs in camera, was I was, you know, when you're not awake and you're asleep, you're in that in-between stage. And that's when spirit can reach you the easiest. And so I was in that stage and I was being taken somewhere. I knew I was being pulled somewhere in a dark gray area. And I knew there was like entities alongside of me. And all of a sudden my husband comes bursting into the bedroom and says, "Oh my God, look what just set up the surveillance camera." And I can remember the sensation of being pulled back into consciousness, I guess would be the best way to describe it. And it was standing there, and he showed me on the surveillance camera this big round light orb thing with a spot in the middle outside our bedroom window, which is literally 2 feet from where I was laying. And he says, look, what caught it. And I thought, well, son of a gun, how long has this been going on? And we never even knew about it. And so that's kind of what got me going down this whole rabbit hole of spirits and orbs.
Now, I want to get to spirits and orbs, but you're an evidential medium. Now, I think a lot of people kind of have an idea of what that is, but there may be people out there who do not. Can you talk to us about what it means to be an evidential medium and how you put that into practice in your work?
Hey, that's great question. So most people are familiar with the word psychic, right? But psychic really just deals with like what's going on in your life and around you and the people around you, work, your future, that type of thing. Mediums were the middleman between here and heaven or the afterlife or spirit world, whatever you prefer. Evidential psychic medium, I have all of those abilities. And as a medium itself, there's really five clairs, right? We see, hear, smell, taste, that kind of thing, get a knowing. And some mediums have some of those or one of those. I currently have them all. And I think because of the combination, it allows me to get really great evidence. So as an example, in a reading, I might get a regular client. You know, yes, I can pick up from their loved one in spirit as an example, you know, the love, the emotion, the memories, the fondness, all that stuff. But I also will be showing like, oh, he's got these fancy boots on, he's kickstarting the motorcycle. I could see that's a dirt bike. Or I'll say, yeah, he's standing here with a broken liquor bottle in one hand and I see a switchblade in the other. You know what I mean? And so because I can get that level of detail, it can be very helpful when you're working on, you know, cases for different police outlets and people in general.
Now, when it comes to orbs, I've seen, you know, over the years, I've been submitted quite a few pictures have been sent along, and some of them are really interesting. And I've had people talk to me about orbs that seem to have a mind of their own, literally seeing in the middle of a room a sphere that will lead them down a path or something like that. But then I see some pictures that just look like dust to me in terms of orbs. I know there tends to be a certain level of skepticism about orbs in photography. How would you answer the critics in terms of people who say, hey, this is just, you know, this is just dust in the air, lens flare, those kind of things? How would you answer those skeptics?
Oh, great question. And basically, I talk quite a bit about that in the book, about how do you tell the difference, because they can be very similar and some people will try to fake them. As an example, spray mist into the air and then taking a quick photo, you know, that kind of silly stuff. The dust ones seem to be a little bit blurrier and softer, right? Mm-hmm. As they go through, and they might go through in patterns and groups. And the biggest thing is, you know, when I tell people how to get their own photos, the biggest difference will be if you capture one in one, but they're not in the same spot or not in the next shot at all. So for me, the big difference is yes, I can capture a lot of the really cool, colorful, round ones with different patterns and texture and rings around them and so on and so forth. But I also can capture, and I think I'm going to such a sum, a really ghostly kind of looking ones, and ones that will literally morph into different shapes as they fly past. So those are ones that you really have to pay special attention to. Like as an example, what does rain look like, right? Well, if you capture rain, it tends to be a little bit longer lines, right? Snow, the same thing. If you're in a very humid place, like even a sauna or someplace really hot, when you take a picture, you'll get a whole bunch of modulations of them, right? And that's just the moisture and humidity in the air. And you can even get confused by cameras. All cameras have like a light metering system, right? So it's like some of my cameras shoot a blue dot. Some are, one of my cameras shoots three green, fluorescent green spots. Others will shoot white, some are red. And those, again, from your camera, and they're not anything spiritual. So and the more you take and the more you debunk your own stuff, the more you'll become familiar with what's real and what isn't real. And this is what I put out on, if anybody is interested, they can check out my social media, like TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, that kind of stuff. And it's under Crystal Peak Medium. And I put up short little videos and pictures of things that I've captured out and about. So it's really, really fascinating. I had one young man on a YouTube video I put up there. He said, oh, that's just the reflection off your watch. And I thought, okay, honey, you know, it wouldn't work that way. Number one, when I was filming, I held my hand up this way, right? So my watch is actually facing away from the orb that was slowly floating through my office and stuff like that. So it's the orbs themselves, when it's a spirit orb, whether it's daytime or nighttime, nighttime's honestly easier to capture them just because they emit their own light and they will show up better in the dark. But I do catch them in the daytime as well. But the thing is they're very intense, right? Whereas like dust will be very soft, right? So that's kind of one of the indicators. It's not the hard rule, but that's one way you can tell.
Yeah, and certainly we'll include those links, for example, crystalpeakmedium.com and then Crystal Peak Medium on the socials. We'll include those in the show notes. I'm looking at a couple you sent. There's one of a singular figure almost standing upright that almost looks like almost like what you would picture a female angel looking like. I'm sure you know the one.
Are you talking about the Wyfield Park one? Right? Yeah. It had it larger than zoomed in.
Yeah, yeah, that I believe that's one. Then there's one right below it you sent where it almost looks like what you would think of almost like two angel-like figures flying next to each other. I mean, those are pretty, pretty striking. Those are very, yeah. very striking.
Yeah, those are, in fact, that really, really fancy angelic one, that still to this day is one of my all-time favorites. What that was is there was a plane crash close to where I live. And so I had gone there, 32 years ago, and I had gone out there on the anniversary to let them know we haven't been forgotten. And hey, if there's anybody here that would like to share their story with me. And I did have two people approach, and one was an elderly lady, real sweet, sweet energy. And anyways, I had just snapped a few photos around there and didn't really see anything on my camera to speak up. And then later that day, or actually it was the next day, I was going through the pictures. And I thought, well, what is that funny little thing there? And when I zoomed in is when I seen this amazing, amazing angelic energy. And I'm certain it was the elderly lady I had just been talking to in that location. So, that one's definitely going.
No, they're quite striking. And they're not, when you think of orb pictures, they're not what you typically see. I mean, they're very much formed, yeah. very interesting. So in terms of like the photographic technique, you know, a lot of people might have their smartphones and they just click pictures and that kind of thing. Is there any guidance that you would give people in terms of the type of equipment they should use, things that they should do to kind of lessen the chance of false results, those kind of things, certain guidance you would give them, basically photography tips to pick up orbs that have a spiritual nature to them?
Yeah, sure. So the biggest thing I can say is they're everywhere. Okay, they're literally everywhere. I could probably pull my camera out right now and take them. So they're in your car, they're in your house, they're even in my closet. So it's just a matter of reproducing the setting exactly the same way each time so you can eliminate variables. As an example, if you can take the shot in the daytime and the nighttime and take lots of shots, standing in the same position, doing the exact same thing. So try to take them repetitively, like 5 seconds apart, bam, bam, bam. And what you'll notice is if there's something that was in one shot and then it wasn't the shot before and it wasn't the shot after, you got to really zoom in on it and look at it closely. It might actually be something legit, or it could just be a bug or an insect or something that floated through as well. But I've also noticed where you've taken pictures and I thought, oh, look at that. But then I realized it's the exact same spot in every photo. Okay, well, then that's an anomaly in the background or the subject matter that you're photographing, right? The same thing with the sun glare. You might get a sun glare or a reflection off of something, but if you stand in one spot and you take it repeatedly, and it's in the exact same thing or very, very similar at each one, then you know it's not anything spiritual because the spirit orbs, they tend to move actually pretty quickly. So you might get them in one frame a shot. I even shoot video and I might get them in 5 frames only, and it's a split across. And in fact, that happened. I was out of town at a different location at night, just standing in the middle of the street intersection, just taking some pictures of this old school. And all of a sudden, this massive thing shot right past me. And I thought, holy Toledo, wait a minute, what was that? And I went back and looked at my footage, and it's only like 3 frames. And it's literally this monstrous, typical ghost that you would see. It is, I mean, I don't get creeped out, and I'm not scared, and I don't think it was anything demonic or anything like that. But other people might look at it and go, holy crap, that is so scary. Get in the car and take off like a madman. So it just depends, you know.
Now, is this something where people need like a Sony full frame sensor camera, or is this something that can, I mean, everybody's walking around with smartphones and cameras in their pockets these days. Is this something you can do with a smartphone? Are there certain pieces of equipment you recommend? What's the barrier, if any, to entry in terms of taking these kind of pictures?
Yeah, so you can use your phone. I mainly use my phone. It's just an iPhone. You can use a Samsung, a Galaxy phone, any of them. They all work. And some I catch without flash. Others I catch with flash on. Some I catch at nighttime. Some I catch during the day. I might have a little bit easier chance just because I'm a medium and I call them in. But I would tell your listeners, do the same thing. So if you want to capture grandma, you know, even next to her tombstone or next to some flowers or next to her photo you might have displayed, ask her, hey, grandma, are you around? Would you mind coming for a photo? I would love to get a picture of you. And then just wait and literally put out your thought of love for her and ask her very kindly. I'm not a fan of making demands. These people in spirit, mostly they likely are just our loved ones that are around us. I do think some are animals, but I know for a fact they are. And I think some might be dimensional as well. But be kind, be sincere, come for the right reason, not because you want to exploit them, but you really want to capture them because you miss them and love them. I think you'd be very surprised what you might get.
What are they trying to communicate? Or first of all, who are we talking about? You kind of talked about that. And then why are they showing up as orbs in your view? And what are they trying to communicate with us?
You know, I think that it's a multitude of things. Like where I live right now is a very, our development was built over abandoned coal mines. And I know there was a lot of people and animals that were in this area at the time. Those were active. And I'm certain there were people and animals that passed away in that process. And so I think we have a heightened activity in our area, but I think most people can find that around them or their area as well. And I think they want to be seen. I know that my children have abilities as well. And my one daughter was laid in bed one night and she looked over and there was what she described. The man was so tall, his head touched her ceiling. And he had on an old black suit and an old shirt with that old fashioned black tie, bow tie on, right? Mm-hmm. And she just lay there looking at him and he just stood there looking at her. And I said, oh my God. And then the next day, she didn't tell me the night. The next day, she tells me. And I said, well, were you scared? She goes, no. I was standing there looking at me. So I was just looking back. So I went out that yard and that night I went in meditation and asked him to step forward and he, you know, popped right in front of my face and startled me. I took off running into the house. He followed me like, you called for me. Why are you running from me? And I had a question. Yeah, why did I do that? But he was here when this land was being developed and mined. So he was still hanging out in the area. It's a beautiful area. But I know some of them are our pets. A lot of our pets used to sleep with us in our bedroom. And so at night, I would say at night time and call them in. And yes, I had a duck as well. And several times I've literally caught a bird flying in to me, which I have no doubt was my duck Truffles. I was staying there one night. I knew I wasn't alone. And next thing I know, I took out my camera because I'm thinking, who's here? And I videotaped and I'm certain it was my cat. And you can see this orb slowly moving through the room. And just like a cat goes between your legs and rubs up against your legs and goes through, it did all that. So I was certain that that was them. So it just depends on where you're at. Like that beautiful one of the elderly lady. I had just been communicating with her for half an hour or so. And then that showed up. So I have no doubt that it is her. And they want to be heard. They want to be seen. I asked my mother-in-law, who has passed away, and we have our urn sitting in our dining room. And I said, hey, mama son, she was a little Japanese lady. I said, hey, mama son, can you come and get your picture taken? Sure enough, here. I said, thank you so much. So I think some of that, but I also don't want to creep out your listeners, but I also think some are dimensional. And the way the reason I say that is what I'm capturing are almost like splits in the light, splits in the fabric. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very, I've shown it to many people, these pictures, and they have said, oh my God, is that interdimensional? Are you seeing in a different space and time? So you have to go, oh, I hadn't thought about that. I wonder. So I think it's very, very complicated. I know that I've talked to a gentleman who has a book out and he's been on some TV shows and he believes all these orbs or angels, but in his situation, I actually think they're UFOs. So, you know, I think you have to look at what you're doing how you're doing it and the context in which it's taking place to help form that opinion.
Now, I'm sure. Yeah, sure. I'm sure you've had cases like this. I wanted to hear about something because I think this is the coolest thing. When somebody, let's say there's a family gathering and someone has passed, but then there's a very kind of spectacular orb where grandma would have been sitting or brother would have been standing, those kind of things, almost not necessarily where the person's looking for it, but it just kind of happens. Do you have some, whether they're pictures you've taken or pictures that some of your clients have taken, do you have any stories like that?
Yeah, I sure do. And that is such a thing. People don't, they dismiss it, right? They just dismiss it as an anomaly, like a light reflection or a bug or something like that. And it was really grandma sitting in the chair. You know, so that's really cool. We had, we went on a trip not that long ago, and with that group, it was a large group, we went to Egypt, and we were on a riverboat cruise, and we had made some connections to my mother and father-in-law who were in spirit with one of our daughters who was in spirit. And so this big group lined up on steps, right? So there was four tiers of steps. And because we were a large group, a couple dozen, everybody was on rows, right? And I'm taking the photo. And I set the photo out there and I said, okay, everybody that wants to be the picture, smile. And I took the photo, and on every step, this is one of my family members. They all wanted to be in the photo as well.
Oh, wow.
Hilarious. Yeah. And so it was, and then it's indescribable. I mean, the orb shapes are as big as their heads on every level. And so, and they're not even random. I mean, there is some amongst the people, but mainly they're right on the level. So it's so obvious that they got on the steps and got in formation to get in the photo. So yeah, that actually does happen.
Obviously you've experienced it. Many of us have experienced it at different levels, grief. And it is such a difficult time and such a difficult thing. And I don't know that it ever goes away totally. But I guess I would ask you, to people out there maybe who are experiencing grief, what would you say about their loved ones and the survival of the soul beyond physical death?
And that's the whole reason I wrote the book. Because I find that when I am given a reading to one of my clients, as an example, and in particular, if they've lost a child, and I too have lost a child, so I know that level of grief and pain. But when I can show them pictures and videos that I have captured to prove to them that their loved ones are still around, they come in so broken sometimes, and they leave with hope. I mean, and energy. They can talk again. They're laughing. They have life back in their eyes. It can be life-changing for people to see that, yes, your loved one isn't maybe here in physical form anymore, but they're still around you. In fact, a lot of times when I'm giving a mediumship reading and I'm bringing another loved one from spirit, they'll be talking about what's going on in their daily life and a decision they're about to make. And, oh, hey, make sure you tell, my sister that she better do this and this and this, and oh, I don't like that guy she's dating, and so they'll talk about things that are really relevant, which helps. But seeing it seems to change everything.
I know you have this book, and I believe when anybody does a large project like this, even if they're very accomplished or knowledgeable in the field, the act of doing the project brings some kind of epiphany or some kind of realization they never had before. In working on this book, have you had one of those?
Yeah, I think I have, in the respect that I really, if I could just heal everybody out there, like if I literally could just sit down with every single person that has lost a loved one, which is pretty much everybody on the planet, and just let them know there is no death, hence the name of the book I'm reading is There Is No Death. That actually came from spirit. I couldn't come up with a name, and it hit me with a lightning bolt, and so it became pretty obvious to me. But if people could just understand that there is no death, we don't die, and that their loved ones are not gone forever, and to make the most of the time that's left. And I think when I'm giving a reading and I'm bringing someone through in spirit, that is the number one thing. I've had children of my clients that have passed away, right? And the children will literally get pretty tough on the parents, like, enough's enough. Tell my mom, you know, I'm going to kick her in the ass. I've had enough of this. She needs to move on with her life. She's got to, I mean, they come in real sweet and blah, blah, blah. But if the parent in particular refuses to move on, they just sit and wallow in sadness and sometimes even guilt, spirit will pull back from them because they already feel bad, especially, you know, a lot of times it's people that have committed suicide, and they'll pull back because they feel like they're inflicting that pain and they're keeping that person in that state of pain. They'll pull back from them, and so they can give them some harsh words. And so if people could just understand that you're going to get to see them again real soon and that you need to live your life the fullest for them. I had a young man that was really devastated that his brother passed. I'm not going to be able to go fishing. I said, actually, he's telling me you better go fishing and you better do it soon. And he's going to be with you. And so make sure that you pack this in your tackle box and blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden this young man's like, wait, what? I said, he still wants to do these things with you. He just isn't going to be in the physical form anymore, but he will be there and he will be listening. I explain it like this. I might be driving a white SUV today. Mm-hmm. Okay. I could get an accident, or I just put 500,000 miles on it and it just falls apart and it dies, right? I need to get a new vehicle. I get out of that vehicle and I'm going to get back into another vehicle. Okay, your soul does the same thing. And there's a whole thing about reincarnation. We can talk about that too. It's really fascinating. But that's what, like this young man, that's what his brother's doing. His brother's in between vehicles right now. He's still around. He just doesn't have a vessel that his soul is residing in. And that's the way it is for everybody. And I just wish everybody could understand that and see the evidence.
Yeah, the SUV analogy, that's very good. I don't know that I've heard that before. It's a really good one. Really well done. So the book, you're working on it now. When do you anticipate it'll be ready for us all to buy?
I don't know. That's a good question. It's done. And I got an agent that you know of that has been helping me. So we're just trying to find the right publishing house that can do what we want to do, because this is going to be littered full of photos, as you've seen. And then the book will have like a QR code in it. So mm-hmm. anybody that's bought the book can zap it and then go watch the actual video if I have a video for it. Because, you know, there's so many skeptics out there. Oh, she Photoshopped that. Oh, she did this and this. I get it. I do it for a living. But that would not be this. And so I have the evidence to back up photos and videos and things. And so they'll be able to do that. So I don't know, maybe a year. I don't know, as soon as we can find the right publisher.
Excellent, excellent. So let me ask you this. Let's say somebody's listening and, you know, they're interested in getting the book when it comes out. But in the meantime, they want to do a little bit of their own photography and try to catch some of these orbs. What would be some quick tips you would give them?
Okay, so I would tell them to make sure that they have their lens really clean on their camera and or phone, to shoot in both photo and in video, to shoot at the same location from the same position at that location. So pick a spot, right? And always shoot from that spot day and night. You can pivot around, but always have that same bearing, right? So that you can do comparisons between photos. And this could even be in your house. So you can pick a room in your house, like your living room, where your family, friends, or whatever your loved one used to hang out at. Go in a corner, back yourself into a corner, and just start taking pictures and video of that exact same spot. And do it, you know, throughout the day and throughout the night. So daytime shots and nighttime shots with flash and without flash, because you're going to get a whole lot of content, and there might be just a couple in there. It's not where you're going to fill up your camera roll.
Right.
Well, of course, that's an old saying, there's no camera roll. Nobody has camera rolls anymore. But you're not going to fill up your camera with a ton of pictures of spirits and orbs. It just doesn't network that way. So you have to take a lot and then take the time to load it on your computer so you can see it nice and large and look for the anomalies. Sometimes they're going to be really, really faint.
So we'll definitely have the links you set along in our post for the show notes for this show. But in the interim, if people are hearing this, where could they go to find more information and also examples of some of the remarkable photos you've captured?
Thanks, Jim. Yeah, you can go to crystalpeakmedium.com. That's my website. I'm also all on Christopher Peak Media on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and even Twitter. Or X.
X now.
And I try to put the videos and the information, the photos on everything. But there might be more on one platform versus another. So please check them out. There's an array of assortments that I'd already posted.
Very interesting indeed, Suzanne Ahrens. Thank you so much for joining us today on the program. I appreciate it and hope we get to chat when that book comes out.
Thank you so much, Jim. I really do appreciate your time, and stay spooky.
And there you go. Well, thanks a lot. And thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it. And we hope that you continue to investigate these mysteries. Bye-bye, everybody.